My name's Jahila. I use she and they pronouns.
Yeah, and I'm Leilani. I use they them pronouns. Kasama Farm. We're in our fourth season. We've got about a little over a half acre in Hood River, about a quarter acre that we're stewarding in Gresham, and our little garlic plot here in Portland. Kasama is a Tagalog word. It is both a noun and a verb. As a verb, it means to be together. And as a noun, it has a lot of different meanings. It means comrade, it means companion, it means farm worker. Farming is also, for me at least, the political and revolutionary act. So I also think of it as like, Jahila's my comrade, Yololi's my comrade. Like anyone who's farming and trying to like disrupt the current way that people have access to land and food is, to me, is a Kasama, is a comrade. It really kind of started off as a project to bring together people from the Filipino diaspora to talk about like what is our relationship to land here. A lot of us have histories that are rooted in imperialism, and a lot of our stories have our families leaving our home countries, not necessarily because they wanted to, but more that they were forced to. So it can be weird missing someplace that's your home that you've never really been connected to, and also like living in a place that is your home that you also don't feel connected to. So I think we wanted to like create the project at first to just have a space to talk about these things and also to like grow food. Food is always a connector.
In our project, we are trying to specifically grow Filipino crops and Southeast Asian, East Asian cultural crops so that we can make the dishes that we grew up eating with the ingredients that often aren't accessible when you just go to Fred Meyer's or like the grocery store when you go to Winko's. We'll grow like sitaw, like long beans, or ampalaya, bitter melon. These foods that are pretty nostalgic for people and essential for a lot of the dishes that our lolas cooked for us growing up. For me, it's really special to get to take care of those cultural crops and those plants that, you know, for generations, people were growing and eating in the Philippines, and at the same time, deepening my relationship to the land here, to Chinook land, and to learn how to be a tender of the soil here.
Yeah, we have a small CSA, so in addition to like growing the crops that we know that like the Filipino community enjoys, we always ask our CSA members if there's like a meaningful crop or like something that they're looking forward to eating, just like trying our hardest to source those things. It can be hard. Definitely sourcing seeds is a challenging thing, especially if they're culturally significant crops. Not all of them are easily available in the U.S. A lot of times it's like talking to people, asking if anyone has these seeds, if they can send them to us. We have seeds that we've collected from traveling to the Philippines and have brought back, and are working on like just making them adapted to the Pacific Northwest climate.
We started with an 8x8 greenhouse that we built in our driveway that we still use every year. And even though that's a small space and like very DIY, it's super nice to be able to have it be close to our home so that we can check on those plants every time that it gets cold out, or if it, like the sun peeks out and it gets really hot in there, we can turn a fan on. Last year, we also started renting land from the East Multnomah County Soil and Water Conservation District in Gresham at Headwaters Incubator Farm. There, they have a huge prop house, and so we have access to like that bigger growing space that's like has automatic fans, so we don't have to go in there. There's also 8 or 9 other farms that are growing on that site, and so we try to be in collaboration with them.
So we're part of Unity Farm, which is part of the Pathways to Farming program through the Oregon Food Bank. I think this is our third season in it. It's like a program for beginner BIPOC farmers. We get a little bit of financial support. We're technically off-site farmers, so the first 2 years that we were part of Pathways, we didn't farm here. There's a bunch of other farmers that do farm here, and this is their only access to land. Yeah, it's also nicer to be like in closer community with the other Pathways farmers. Yeah, it like breaks up the isolation big time. The Net Hood River, it's pretty bare bones. Like, we have the land, which is one of the hardest things to get as a farmer is land. So it's nice that we have land access there, and it's really beautiful soil, really healthy. One of the things that has really solidified like our connection to the community is the building of the Filipino Bayan Nihon Center, which is our community center, and just like having a centralized location where people of a specific ethnic identity can kind of meet and either use the space for their own events or activities or talk to the community center staff about immigration issues, about wiring money back home, like any number of things.
I grew up in Hood River, which is an agricultural community. So I've always been around farms, farm workers, and agricultural in general. So I feel like it was all around me, but I didn't know that it was going to be what I wanted to pursue. When I was in college, I was learning about environmental issues and food justice and things like that. But it was all like very much like in your head and like conversations and not really action. And after I graduated, I got a job on a farm, and that was the first time I was putting my hands in soil and spending a lot of time outside developing and deepening my relationships with plants and with land. And my mental health was really good that summer. And that was a huge change for me to realize that when I'm physically moving my body, when I'm deepening my relationships with land, that I actually felt better and felt really connected. And so it became something that I was pursuing, just always wanting to connect to local farms and be volunteering on other farms just for my own well-being and to know where my food was coming from. I was really inspired by a queer Asian-owned farm in Rhode Island called Movement Ground Farm. They were growing Asian vegetables and distributing to the Asian American community in Providence and Boston. And I was really able to see how the connection between growing those crops for those people was so powerful for folks. And it made me really want that for my community, for the Filipino American community too.
I got into landscaping while I was in college as like a summer job, and then like did that the first couple years after I graduated from college, and really enjoyed the work, really enjoyed being outside, and found a like urban farming internship in Boston. So I signed up and got to learn all about how to cultivate like plants, like food crops, and like row farming systems. I feel like I enjoy most parts of farming, like the planting, harvesting is always like the best, being out in the elements, like even it can be even enjoyable to be out in the rain or out in the snow.
I think one of the things I like the most about farming is how it marks the passage of time. And like when you notice, you know, in the spring, which plants, like which native plants are the ones that pop up, like when the chicory comes up, or when the grass starts to have pollen on it, or when it starts to like have seed heads, and just like these little markers that tell you what's going on in the world. Leilani was saying before, like it can be really isolating because you're, you know, alone in the field, or maybe just seeing like one or two people regularly and you're so exhausted at the end of the day, you don't really have time to socialize. But then when you talk to other farmers, their experiences are so relatable, and I feel like other farmers are just observing so closely the world around them, the plants, the change in the weather, and it's so fun to talk to them and really nerd out about bugs or soil or weather. So I really enjoy that part, and I think especially when we get to talk with other Asian American farmers, Filipino farmers, and BIPOC farmers, just hearing about like their specific experiences is really validating.
People are always down to help out or share materials or seeds or just like growing information, and it doesn't feel as like aggressively competitive as like other workplaces seem. So yeah, I really appreciate that. It really seems like the community of farmers like wants you to succeed.
I think it's important for people to be involved in urban farming so that we all can learn where our food comes from and understand that it's really hard to grow food. Even if you're, you know, tending one pot and growing a tomato plant, you can understand that there's a lot of like squirrels, pests that are trying to eat your plant. You have to water it every day and be really consistent. I think that it connects you to your food and to the world we live in, but it also shows you just how challenging it is to be a farmer, and I think can make you in better solidarity with farm workers. We really have to be taking care of the people who are growing food for us, and the way that farmers and farm workers are treated in this country is really tough conditions, and sometimes it can be really despicable. Our foundations are really evil, and the current systems are built on top of those foundations. And so I think for people in urban areas to know that those systems are still in place and are serving us in urban areas to provide us food is really important.
There's a lot of really awesome projects happening in this city and in the metro area. You know, there's Black Futures Farm, there's Black and Brown Herbal Exchange, Flying Dog Heart, like all of the people here who are farming. Some other of our favorite farms, Another Spring Farm, Scrapberry Farms, Tanager Farm, Sun Moon Fields, Lomita Farm, Mora Mora Farm.
Oh, there's so many.
Peachwood Orchards, Anahuac Farm, Compo Collective.
It's a movement.
It's a movement, yeah. There's a lot of, like, the fact that I can name, like, more than 10 BIPOC-owned farms in this area is pretty, to me, seems pretty impressive. I wish there was actually a centralized location where all of these awesome farm projects in the Portland metro area, like, existed on a page so that, like, we could, like, all have our information on there and all have our asks, because it doesn't exist. And so, like, my advice is, like, to follow all of the accounts and, like, get on the newsletters of all these amazing farms that exist in the area. A lot of us have volunteer opportunities. A lot of folks still right now are looking to get their CSAs filled. You could go to the Come Through Farmers Market. It's a Black and Indigenous Farmers Market.
I feel like there's ways that you can get involved by, you know, showing up for farms, but also just getting involved in organizations. The food justice movement also includes, you know, the people who are tending to native habitats, native plant habitats along the Columbia River and the Willamette River. It also includes pantries and making sure that food is getting from our farms to people's homes, and that it's accessible, that it's multilingual. If you're not someone who's going to be out in the field with the farmers or don't have, like, the financial privilege to be able to, like, buy into some of these farms, there's also ways to show up. One of the ways that we're part of the movement of BIPOC farmers is by being in community with people. So, like Leilani was mentioning, inviting other farmers out to our space and collaborating with them on that land, or sharing information, brainstorming to try to figure out how other farmers can realize their dreams.
In addition to, like, stewarding the land, I think one of the special things is that we're also bringing, like, our culture into this work and just, like, sharing a lot about, like, who we are as people and these identities that we hold, which I think is very different than how traditional farming in the U.S. has been for probably decades, if not centuries. Definitely when I was a kid and I thought of farmers, I just thought of, like, older white guys that sat on tractors all day and didn't really realize that, like, a lot of women actually farm. Like, globally, a lot of the agricultural folks are women. A lot of the movement, I feel like, starts in the urban areas where people get politicized around, like, farming and land access. And then I think where dreams can be further realized is, like, connecting the urban people and urban folks who want to be growing with land access in rural areas. I really want to get more people out into rural spaces from the city. And also, I acknowledge that rural spaces, at least in this country and especially in Oregon, are, like, can be very violent and oppressive. And so I feel like we're in a unique position where we can sort of, like, create a space where people can come out and farm and not have to be, like, hassled by like a racist landowner.
I'd also just say that we're in a big transition of farming in our country, because the average age of farm owners is creeping up towards retirement. It's already in, I think, 62 years old, maybe. There's a massive shift that's going to happen as other people need to start stewarding all of that farmland. My hope and dream is that that could be a new wave of farmers that care about sustainability, that care about soil health, who care about equitable access for poor folks, for Black and Brown folks, for Indigenous folks, that we can really see some land back efforts. And my fear is that large international corporations will buy that land and continue to degrade the soil and exploit the farm workers.
A lot of beginning farmers are like kind of mid-career farmers to make their businesses sustainable. Most people that I know that are POC farmers in this area, if not all, are not coming from generational wealth. And so like a lot of people are struggling with just like simple land access. You know, I feel like if you want to be a farmer, the first thing that you need is land. You need somewhere to grow. I do recognize that Oregon has more resources than other states to support small farmers, which is why I think you're seeing a lot more of these smaller BIPOC-owned farm projects and farm businesses popping up here.
Planet but group and the conditions win. Hard environments fed us but no nutrition now. Check it, it better with what I wrote down. Feeding the soil, hoping to grow now. From the youth, we ain't had a truth. Disconnected from the roots, we ain't had a proof. It consumed every part of the food we grew now. Just because they wanna profit off you. In every hood it isn't good, they'd rather feed in the addiction than feed us all with the cure. Rather be selling the prescription division. Wishing the mission division isn't the ripper. We gotta be coming together by building echo resiliency. Earth holding the lessons of ancestors.
Aloha.